Now, from Shaw and Partners, in the early hours of a beautiful rainy or sunny or whatever Sydney morning, Andrew Kelleher, very good morning to you.
Yeah, very good morning, Mike.
Now, give me the good news on the dairy.
Hey, now, look, we've got this Middle East conflict, we've got the tensions, that continues. As we always say, Mike, you and I always say, the wheels of commerce keep turning, don't they? And we've got these various pillars of our economy we've been talking about this week. We've had tourism, services sector, now we're going to talk about the agri sector. Well, tourism markets, they continue their recovery, services sector stalling a bit, but a key part of the agri sector is dairy exports. We had a global dairy trade auction overnight, and the global dairy trade price index has lifted 0.6%. Now, that follows a 1.5% lift in the auction on the 5th of May. So, look, Mike, we might have had a wee wobble in April. Everyone's allowed a wee wobble every now and then. We saw a couple of chunky falls in that price index in April. But just take a step back on this. If you look at 2026 in totality so far, 10 auctions, 8 of which have seen an increase in the price index. Now, you would have to call that a positive first 5 months, wouldn't you, in the face of global uncertainty? Just sort of drilling down to the various commodities, butter up 2.5%, mozzarella up 2.9%, cheddar fell 1.3%, the larger components, skim milk powder up 0.2%, small gain, and whole milk powder up a healthy 1.2%. So, look, skim milk powder continues to sort of steady climb. That started back in December last year. That continues. Whole milk powder, to me, looking very stable. It's been sitting in a narrow range. So, at the moment, Mike, the market for dairy products, I think, is looking, we'll use this word again, resilient.
I believe so. Not so much with spending, though.
Yeah, not really. So, look, we're starting to see this kind of complex interplay between, you know, you've got fuel prices that hits inflationary expectations straight away, inflationary expectations hit consumer confidence straight away, and the final act is the actual spending. What are you all putting on your credit cards? And at the moment, you're kind of putting them away. So overall, card spending fell in April, probably not an unexpected result. A few key points. The observation is pretty broad-based. It's a general malaise. It's not specific. So you had a monthly fall of 1.3% for retail electronic card transaction. That was probably weaker than people were thinking. Now, these numbers are not inflation adjusted, so they're just amounts that get processed against your various electronic cards. Annual change 2%. Last month, the annual change was 2.7%. So the spend is growing at a slower pace than inflation. So in real terms, you are spending less. Total card transactions, you include non-retail, fell 1.6%. Now, if you strip out the volatile stuff like fuel, also fell 1.3%, annual rise there 1.4%. So the really interesting aspect of the data, Mike, is that the April spending on fuel actually declined compared to March, but fuel prices actually went up. So it indicates we really pulled back, didn't we? We didn't fill up, we didn't go places, we prioritised trips, because I think in March fuel spending lifted 16%, Mike. I think what's really interesting here, though, is what happens next. And I think that's dependent on the outcome in the Middle East. There's a wee warning here, though. Even if we get a swift resolution, which may repair some confidence in the short term and provide some certainty, that the increased costs that we're seeing, they are going to linger. They're going to keep feeding through for a little while. So we don't expect May to be much better. It won't reverse immediately, but look, it really just depends on what happens.
Sure, exactly. Give us a quick word on the bonds.
Yeah, bond markets this week. So inflationary concerns being expressed by markets and longer bond rates. You just mentioned the US 30-year. Well, actually, yesterday our bond rates fell, Mike. PPI inflation, business inflation, actually running lower than CPI inflation at the moment. But yeah, that pesky 30-year hitting sort of 20-year highs. Mike, what we're seeing every day is the tension between weaker growth, which implies lower bond yields, and inflation concerns, which implies higher bond yields. It means markets are going to stay volatile.
Numbers, please.
Rightio, the Dow Jones is down 81 points, so not much, 0.16%, 49,605, back under the 50,000 mark. The S&P 500 down 15 points, 0.2%, 7388, and the NASDAQ down about a third of a percent, 97 points, 25,993. Obviously, everybody waiting on NVIDIA results. The FTSE 100 barely moved to 10,330. The Shanghai Composite down 0.44%. 4%, 60,550. Shanghai Composite up just under 1%, 4,169. The ASX, the Australasian markets bounced back. Good day yesterday. The ASX 200 up 99 points, 8,605, 1.17%, and a storming day, which we like to see on the NZX 50, led by Fisher & Paykel Healthcare, 12,974, up 211 points, 1.66%. Kiwi dollar, 0.5839, a little weaker against the US, 0.8208, I think that's a little stronger against the Aussie, 0.5028 euro, 0.4355 pounds, 92.76 Japanese yen, gold, $4,499, and Brent crude still up there, $110.39.
You're a top bloke. See you tomorrow, Andrew Kelleher, Shaw and Partners.